stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 50 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Blue Sky, Discord, and everywhere else at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not already, you need to go check out the South Harmon Warp Tool at southharmonff.com. It is the tool that I use the absolute most out of everything, and the reason is because I made it. It helps me understand my leagues, because I'm in 45 of them. I can't necessarily keep all the nuances and details straight between every single one, but having a singular place that I can go to, just punch in, this is the league I want to look at, and it automatically gives me all the information I need to know in order to make a decision about which player is more valuable in this league, am I going to want to do this trade or not. That's the kind of thing that I personally use all the time. And so you should go to southharmonff.com and check that out. This week, I want to talk about the age of a player joining a new team versus their fantasy performance. With the free agency having just gone past us, we had a lot of players that were moving from one team to another, whether it was through trades or whether it was just through signing with a new team. And something that I have always wondered and never really delved a whole lot into is, what does that look like for a player going from one team to another? Can we actually expect that their situation gets better or worse? Or can we just basically assume that almost every single time that they're moving from one team to another, it's because their team no longer wants them and that player is inherently going to be less valuable because that team is just right. And that player is not up to snuff. They are not able to do what they did in the past. And so we should stay away from them. All the narratives of this player is going to a new team, it's going to be better pastures for them. If we were to just ignore every single one of those and sell all of our players who move from one team to another, would that actually work? Would we be making the right decision most of the time? So I decided to utilize some of the data that I have and go all the way back to 2007 and take a look at how players did when they switched from one team to another. Some important notes that I'm going to talk about with the players that I'm including in this data set. I'm only going to include players who played in at least 12 games for both their last season with their team before they either got traded or left in free agency, and if they played 12 games in the first season with their new team. So anybody that had an injury that caused them to not play in at least 12 games either of those seasons, they're automatically removed from the data set. I want to look at this purely from, did a player actually improve? And I want to remove as much of the variance as possible. And if a player only appeared in, say, 3 or 4 games, that would introduce a lot of variance into that data. In addition, a player needs to have scored at least 6 points per game in the season before they left the team. I don't want to be talking about those players who were a fourth string wide receiver on their team and they got lucky if they got one pass for 15 yards. Like, that's not enough for me. I want to be talking about the players that actually mattered and the ones that we're paying attention to in our fantasy teams. For this offseason, I'm talking about including in the guys like Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Najee Harris, Rico Dowdle, DK Metcalf. All of those players are ones that I want to include in my data set. And I don't want to include the Olamide Zaccheaus or Kenneth Gainwell, because realistically, their situations are more likely to be influenced by where they stack on the depth chart, not where they actually are as a player and how they might be used as part of their future team. So with those parameters, let's dive into the first position, the quarterbacks. So since 2007, we've had a total of 19 quarterbacks hit my parameters to be included in this data set. Of those 19, 7 saw an increase in points per game from moving teams, and 12 saw a decrease. So right off the bat, it's kind of hard to look at the quarterback position and think that them switching teams is going to lead to good things. In addition, when we look at the ages of these quarterbacks, that's where we start to paint a different picture as well. The way I'm defining age is based on the number of years in the NFL. I'm not actually defining it by their age in terms of their physical age, but how many years have they been in the NFL? Has it been since their rookie draft? And of the quarterbacks that saw an increase, we saw one quarterback have an increase when they had 4 years of experience, two with 6 years of experience, and then every other quarterback was way older. We saw it from quarterbacks with 12, 13, 18, and 20 years of experience. Now, when we look at the ones that decrease, those tend to skew on the younger side. We saw a decrease after years 3, 4, 2 in year 5, 1 in year 6, 1 in year 7, 1 in year 9, and 2 in year 10. So you can see just from the sheer numbers of quarterbacks that in that 10 and younger who have decreased, that we're looking at that a lot of these younger quarterbacks, if they are switching teams, they are going to be having a worse time. And in general, these quarterbacks, you kind of have to get lucky to see them go to a new team and actually produce. So what does that mean for the quarterbacks that are moving around teams this offseason? Well, Sam Darnold, he's somebody who has had 7 years of experience in the NFL. And so what we should not be expecting is that he exceeds his performance that he did in Minnesota last year. We should be seeing that his fantasy points are going to go down. So if you have somebody that's valuing Sam Darnold in your league, similar to how he was valued in Minnesota, this is the prime opportunity to sell them to them. Geno Smith, he's had 12 years of experience in the NFL, and he's moving teams. He is somebody that, looking at this data, looking at how it varies between younger versus older quarterbacks, is somebody that I'm potentially more willing to take a shot on to see if he can't improve from last year, or at least just be right around the same. I'm not expecting that he's going to have a significantly worse performance, and that's also just looking at he's going to be a starting quarterback in a relatively stable job, in my opinion, and then he didn't really do that much last year anyway. He doesn't have a lot that he really needs to exceed. So Geno Smith is one of those guys that I think can be a little bit of a sleeper coming into this year. Now, Justin Fields would not make this data set normally because he did not play as the starter in enough games last season. However, if we were to look at our data, we would say that he is a younger quarterback, and we should not be trusting of that. So this is maybe a time where if you have somebody that's valuing Justin Fields really highly, you want to try and get out of him now, because usually these younger quarterbacks, they don't do well. And the same thing goes for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, you also have to look at that whole situation in Indianapolis. But Daniel Jones, if you were just to look at it from this lens, he's been in the NFL for 6 years. I think that it is kind of an anomaly that there were two quarterbacks who were year six who increased from previous years and only one that decreased. We're looking at a sample of three. When you look at all the other NFL ages of quarterbacks for how long they've been in the NFL, all around that six number, it's just rife with quarterbacks who have decreased year over year going from one team to another. And Daniel Jones, even if he's able to take over that starting job from Anthony Richardson, I would not be expecting to see him return back to what you're expecting from fantasy performances that he was doing in New York. Next, I want to look at the running backs. For the running backs, there was a total of 59 running backs that were part of this data set. So I definitely feel like that for the running backs, I'm way more confident in how this data looks and that there's not anomalies compared to the quarterbacks. And with the running backs, there were a few really, really interesting trends that came out of this. First off, there were 27 total running back changes, which yielded a positive result in points per game. And then there were 32 that yielded a negative result in points per game. That is already much closer to 50-50 than the quarterbacks were. However, what's really, really interesting is looking at the numbers that stand out. What I noticed is that when looking just down the age of the number of running backs who have decreased, there's been one running back who decreased when they switched their team after 2 years, one running back who decreased after 3 years, and then 11 running backs who decreased when they switched their team after 4 years at their first team. And that 11 makes a lot of sense when you start thinking about how NFL contracts work. Those rookie contracts, those are four-year deals. And after those 4 years is when a team can choose to dump that running back and either get another one through the draft, sign another one, that sort of thing. And those teams are usually going to let them go if they don't think they have as much in the tank anymore, or they just are not doing as well as they think they should be. And so seeing 11 running backs decrease after leaving their team with 4 years of experience is a huge amount. But if we look at that increase number, we see that any running back that has left their team before their four-year contract was up, they never increased. There's not a single one before year four that was able to increase their points per game by leaving their team. For this year, if you're looking at Jordan Mason, who is the one running back who would have come into this data set and been able to actually hit some of the points per game metrics we're talking about, he's the one that had 3 years of experience in the NFL. So if somebody's looking at potentially offering you something for your Jordan Mason, you should be valuing him like he's a backup running back who's not going to do much. His points per game are likely going to go down. And when you look at that situation in Minnesota, even if he ends up as the only running back there with Aaron Jones, let's just pretend that Minnesota decides not to draft a running back in the NFL draft this year. Jordan Mason is still going to have a decrease in those points per game from his time in San Francisco, if you're looking at this metric. And so I think adding this metric on with all the other problems going on for how it would have to be for Jordan Mason to increase his production in Minnesota, you need to look at just not valuing Jordan Mason at all and selling him to those managers who think that they potentially have a name that they want on their roster. So for the running backs who do increase their points per game year over year, we had 7 of them do that after 4 years, 6 of them after 5, 4 after 6 years, and 4 after 7 years. So what we're seeing is that there's this window from 4 to 7 years where running backs are way more likely to do well. And then those running backs after year 8, year 9, and 10, there was 2, 1, and 1 respectively. Now, when we compare this to the overall number of running backs that were at those thresholds, when we're looking at 4 years, the number who succeeded were 7 out of 18. That sounds like, okay, that's all right, but you don't want to bet on those running backs leaving after 4 years. In general, that is a losing proposition because it is less than 50%. But when we switch it to looking at years 5, 6, and 7, year 5 is 6 out of 10. That is better than 50%. Year 6, 4 out of 7, still better than 50%. Year 7 is 4 out of 8, exactly 50%. Year 8, 2 out of 4, 50%. Year 9, 1 out of 2, you're starting to get into, okay, I don't think that we have enough data here. And year 10, 1 out of 3. So what we see is there's this sweet spot where after running backs swapping teams from years 5 through 8, it's about a 50-50 shot that they're going to actually do better at their new team compared to how they did at their previous team the last season. Year 4 is the trap that makes you think that the running back is more likely to succeed. And yes, quite a few of them do succeed. We're talking 7 out of 18. That 7 number is still pretty significant. However, it's not a bet that you want to make. You want to let somebody else make the bet on the running back with 4 years of experience. And instead, you make the bet on the running backs that have 5, 6, 7, or 8 years of experience. Especially the ones that have 5 years of experience and 6 years of experience, because you have better than 50% odds there. So those are the running backs that you actually want to be targeting. So who are we looking at in this current year who's switching teams? We're looking at Najee Harris. He had 4 years with the Steelers, and now he's going over to the Chargers. That's a bet that according to these metrics, you don't want to make. Now, we're looking at the Los Angeles Chargers situation as something that is really, really good for him. We see the Chargers rushing situation as something that we want the running backs in that system. But that might mean this is your opportunity to sell high when you can. To go ahead and get rid of your Najee Harris while he has all that value, because the bet that he's going to do better than he was in his days as a Steeler is hard to make. And so instead, let somebody else take that risk. And if you can turn that into some other kind of value on your team, and you need to go buy in for a running back later, you can do it at that time. Javonte Williams is another running back who's swapping teams after 4 years. Now, he didn't do great in Denver, and he's going to Dallas, where Dallas's running back room right now is basically devoid of all talent. So this is another one where, much like Najee Harris, I can make the argument of where I can see him doing better than he was doing in Denver. But if I'm going to pay attention to this data, I'm going to say that I don't want to rely on Javonte Williams. Right now, he has a breath of life. People might actually be interested in trading for Javonte Williams or adding him to their teams. And so now is your time to get rid of him, to get that value out of Javonte Williams before he potentially turns into a giant pumpkin on your roster. The last running back that is swapping teams this year is Rico Dowdle. Rico Dowdle has 5 years of experience. He's spent that on the Dallas Cowboys, and now he's switching over to the Carolina Panthers. Now, this is a flip side for everything that I've just been talking about, where I was talking about the 4 year running backs are ones that I want to let other people take a look at those guys and in let others take on that risk. But Rico Dowdle is going to a situation where people are not as excited. The Carolina Panthers were worried about the stability of that team. They also have Chuba Hubbard, who they signed to a multi-year large money value extension. And Rico Dowdle, do we think that he's going to beat out Chuba Hubbard in order to be the lead in that backfield like he was in Dallas? We don't really think that. But if we're looking at the 5 years of experience thing, and we're looking at what the narrative about Rico Dowdle is going to be going into this upcoming season, that is going to drive his value down. And that's the kind of bet that I'm willing to take. I'm willing to take the bet on the depressed player who statistics tells us has a better chance of actually succeeding in a new team. Now, this might not work out. I might blow my value on Rico Dowdle. But we do those things all the time. The whole point of what we do is we try to take shots, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. But to me, Rico Dowdle is somebody that it might be worth taking a really cheap shot. If somebody's valuing him, like he's the backup in Carolina, then sure, I want that backup because he has the opportunity to surprise us and to do better than we were expecting. So now that I've talked about the running backs, I want to move on to the wide receivers. For the wide receivers, I had a total of 88 wide receivers that hit my data set. So even more than the 59 that were running backs. Of these 88 wide receivers, 50 of them had an increase in their points per game after switching teams. That's correct. 50 out of 88, or greater than 50%, increase their production when moving between teams. Now, what's really interesting is to see the ages of these wide receivers when they swap teams in terms of whether they increase or decrease. Right away, I can tell exactly when you want to buy in on a wide receiver who's switching teams, and that is right after their rookie contract finishes. The number of wide receivers who finish their rookie contract after years 4, year 5, and then swap teams is a total of 28 of the 50 wide receivers who increased going from one team to another. And the percentages are really, really stark. So I'm talking about 17 wide receivers after a 4-year rookie contract swapped teams and had better points per game performances the following year, compared to only 7 wide receivers who, after 4 years, swapped teams and had a decrease. So you're looking at 17 out of 24, or almost 75% of wide receivers who finished a 4-year rookie contract swapping teams doing better the following year. For ones that stuck around that 5th year, because maybe they were that first round pick and they had that option, or they just were stuck on that team for an extra year because of an extra year of extension or something along those lines, 11 of those players who swapped had an increase and only 3 had a decrease. So you're at 11 out of 14, or better than 75% of those players that swap teams did better. So I definitely want to be targeting those players who were with a team for 4 or 5 years and then are swapping. I want to focus in on any of those guys from this offseason. Had T. Higgins gotten moved, he would have been a screaming buy because of that. But we actually have a few wide receivers who you maybe wouldn't think about in a normal sense. Josh Palmer, he would have been part of this data set and he has only had 4 years of experience in the NFL. So him going to the Bills looks like he would probably do better than he was doing in Los Angeles last year. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, our touchdown machine from last year, he's had 5 years of experience in the NFL. And he's moving down to Miami, and we might see him potentially get a little bit more consistent work if we're looking solely at this data. Obviously, we always have to pay attention to the actual team as a whole, but Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is somebody that you might want to take a bet on because he's probably going to be cheap, if not totally free. And the third wide receiver who's been around for 4 or 5 years and is swapping teams is Dyami Brown. He's going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And based on those years of experience, he might be the wide receiver that emerges as that number two threat. He might do better than he was doing in Washington last year. We saw in Washington how they ended up swapping around those wide receivers, but Dyami Brown is somebody who potentially could exceed what he was doing for Washington and do better down there in Jacksonville. Now, none of these guys are game breakers, but if you are in those best ball leagues where you need some of these guys to fill in on the back end, these are some names that maybe you can try to just slowly accumulate on your team over time. I know I'm going to be adding them to my watch list on Sleeper just to keep them sitting there. When I'm in the off season and I'm trying to figure out, hey, who is it that I want to take from this other manager's team because I want a player, but I don't need them necessarily to give me a third or give me a fourth. I just need that little extra thing. Maybe getting one of these guys is going to be the move that I try and make. If we continue on after those rookie contracts, when wide receivers are changing teams after they've already signed that second contract, we're now looking at a losing battle. We're comparing 22 wide receivers who have increased with 28 wide receivers who have decreased. And we see that after year six, that number is 7 wide receivers who decrease compared to 3 who increase. Year 7, it does flip, but I think that's just more of a data anomaly kind of thing, where we have 5 wide receivers who increase and 3 who decrease. Because we get right back into year 8, where we have 2 that decrease, 1 that increase. Year 9, 2 increase and 6 decrease. And in year 10, we get another one of those flips, where we get 6 who increase and 4 who decrease. And then continuing on from there, 11, 12, and 13, they all lead towards the decrease side, with 2, 1, and 2 decreasing respectively compared to 1, 1, and 1. We do also have 2 wide receivers that after year 14, they increase their production when they swap teams. But we don't have any who decrease their production after year 14. And I think that just kind of has to go with the fact that wide receivers who are that old just tend not to stick around that long unless they're really good enough to be able to be used effectively. But overall, I don't really want to try and betting on those wide receivers in that range. Those ones that have 6+ years of experience, in general, switching teams does not mean they're going to do better. It just might mean that they're going to hold close to their value. So looking at those wide receivers for this year, that's Deebo Samuel. If you're in any leagues with me, you know I've already been trying to move my Deebo Samuel. I've already been on this idea that he's not going to do as well as we expected from San Francisco. So if people are valuing him similar, then you probably want to sell. DK Metcalf, similar idea. I think that he's not going to do as well in Pittsburgh as he did in Seattle. And this data would also show that he's not likely to increase his points per game production this year compared to last year. Christian Kirk, he has 7 years of experience. Cooper Kupp has 8 years of experience. Mac Hollins, 8 years of experience. Devontae Adams has 11 years of experience, and DeAndre Hopkins has 12 years of experience. Go through all those names and just think about what it would mean if those guys did not produce to the levels that they have in previous years. And think about what it would mean if they do produce. For most of those players, they're valued relatively highly. Mac Hollins, sure, you can ignore him. DeAndre Hopkins, he also did almost nothing last year in that same idea. So, but if you take those guys out, you're looking at players who, Devontae Adams, he cost a first when you were in November of last year. Is he ever going to come back to that again unless he produces at the same level? and how well do we think we can trust that he's going to perform at that same level? If you have the opportunity to sell him for a good percentage of that value that he's worth, then you might want to consider doing that now. Because if he does not produce at that same level, the value that he's at right now might be the peak that he's worth even when you get to November. So, in general, these wide receivers who are switching teams, I'm looking to slowly offload them. I'm not trying to do a fire sale. I'm not trying to get off of all of them instantly. But these are players that if somebody comes knocking, I am going to try and see if they're willing to take them. And see if I can't get myself back some of those Diami Browns, Josh Palmers, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhines that maybe they're holding on to. The last position to look at is tight end. And tight end is really crazy to look at. So if you look at the overall numbers for tight end switching teams, it looks like a 50-50 shot. You see that there's 14 out of 27 tight ends who increased from 1 year to the next, and 13 out of 24 or out of 27 tight ends who decreased. So it looks pretty close to 50-50 as you can get. But when you look at the years of experience, it tells a totally different story. 9 of the 14 tight ends who increased their points per game from 1 year to the next ended up switching teams right after the end of their 4-year rookie contract. That is such a huge percentage. And then 3 of the remaining 5 did that after 5 years, so at the end of their 5-year rookie contract. Whereas if you look at the ones who decreased, that's where you see your 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, all of those other tight ends who swap teams later on in their careers, they basically all decreased. We had 2 anomalies where a tight end swapped after 7 and another one where they swapped after 10 years of experience. But 12 out of those 14 came after swapping right after the end of their rookie contract. So if I'm going to target a tight end who's swapping teams and say, this is somebody that I want, that's the years of experience I need to target. And right now, this offseason, we don't have anyone that fits that bill. There is no tight end who has swapped teams that would have fit this data set. The only one who fits this data set is Evan Engram. And he has 8 years of NFL experience, so I would expect that his points per game total goes down. And so when I'm looking at this, some people might be looking at trying to buy into Evan Engram because he's basically the only tight end worth anything on the Denver Broncos right now. But I want to caution you and make sure that you know that if you are buying Evan Engram, that you should not be expecting Jacksonville-like performances because he is that older tight end. And we have not seen a single tight end after 8 years of experience in the NFL increase their points per game totals. Yes, the number of tight ends who have swapped teams and had been productive on their team beforehand were extremely low. But Evan Engram is not a bet that I want to take. And I'm going to be looking to offload a lot of my Evan Engram this offseason to other managers to try and get off of a bunch of him because I know I actually have more of him than would be expected in terms of rostering how many of a player compared to the total number of leagues that I have. And so I want to try and move off of Evan Engram and lower those percentage numbers. But in future years, if we see tight ends after 4 or 5 years of experience moving teams, those are tight ends that I am going to want to jump in on. Those are the guys that I'm going to take that bet for, hey, is this somebody who could be way outside of the top 12 who hops in and surprises us? And then the nice thing will be when they hit, you'll be able to immediately flip them that following offseason, knowing that they're likely going to be those one-year wonders. To give you an example of who these guys are, you have TJ Hockenson, Tyler Conklin, he was definitely a one-year wonder, Gerald Everett, you maybe got a couple years out of him, but he felt like a one-year wonder, Eric Ebron, Trey Burton, Kobe Fleener, Jared Cook, Greg Olsen, Tony Scheffler, Evan Engram was actually somebody who was on this list, Martellus Bennett, and Gerald Everett yet again. With the exception of TJ Hockenson, all of these tight ends that appeared on this list were the guys that had a huge spike and then they settled back down. And they were players who, if you sold when they were in their peak production, you would have gotten a lot of value at that moment. And so these are the kinds of guys that I'm going to be looking to target. I'm going to be looking for those year four, year five tight ends who end up swapping teams to be the guys that I want to take shots on in my tight ends don't matter leagues or my tight end premium leagues, because the chance that they increase is extremely high. And those are the kinds of bets that I want to try and make. So just to recap, I want to try and invest in tight ends and wide receivers who are ending their rookie contracts. I want to be wary of running backs who have just ended their rookie contracts, but potentially invest in those running backs who had finished that rookie contract, gotten that 1 or 2 year deal, and then are swapping teams. And then quarterbacks, in general, I don't want to invest in ones who are swapping around teams. That's everything that I have for you this week. Make sure to go to southharmonff.com and check out all the stuff that we have there. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.